Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Now this Thursday on TG Cahar, Moncal McGann begins a new series called Ig Thriel Éireann Tubber, Journeying to the Well. Moncal is a TV presenter, an author, a playwright, a travel writer. He's also a collector of words and stories from all around the country. And this morning he joins us from Radio na Gaeltacht, the studios in Mullion an Isle in West Kerry. Good morning, Moncal.
Hello to you. Lovely to talk to you this morning.
I'm really looking forward to chatting to you about this programme. I looked at episode one and it's very, very good. What are you doing in West Kerry this week?
I'm actually doing my own Ig Thriel Éireann Tubber, so going to the well. I live in the Midlands, and so I swim every day in Loch Lane in the lake there, and I just thought I would love to swim in the sea. So this is sort of the bigger tubber, the bigger well. My pool of rejuvenation is Cúan Smerach, is Smerach Harbour here. So I'm here mainly to swim.
And actually, as I was coming in to interview Moncal, I said to myself, how many Moncals are there? I only know you.
Yeah, I haven't come across another one. There was a Saint Monachán in the 7th century, and he had a sort of cult. So I think in the 12th century there were poems written about him saying that all he wanted to do was live as a hermit in the woodlands surrounded by his own leeks growing and his salmon and his bees. And I didn't know that poem, but that's exactly what I've done. Like, I've moved to Westmead, planted an oak wood, have my trout outside my door, have my leeks and my bees. So, yeah, I think he had died out as a name, and I don't see anybody reviving him. You know, there's such a fad and a taste for new reans and luans and reels, but I haven't heard anyone take on Monachán or Moncal or Manahan or all the different versions of my name yet.
We could start it this morning, you never know. Now, look, this series about the holy wells of Ireland, there must be thousands of them, are there, around the country? Have you any idea how many there are?
I mean, the Ordnance Survey reckoned that there was about 3,000, but there's probably more, and some have been, you know, some have been just forgotten about. Some are recently being uncovered. So almost every week that number is shifting as people ask older people in the community and they remember that there was one down a lane or that there was one in a hidden place and that they uncovered. But what's unique, the fact there are 3,000 in Ireland, no country in the world has that amount. Not per head or not per capita, but just no country in the world has 3,000. And every country in the world has almost their sacred water sources. So whether it's water holes in with Aboriginal Australians or like in Mexico, the cenotes, the sort of sacred wells there, it was a key thing for people to obviously find sacred these sources of water in their landscape. But somehow, because of the absence of, you know, intensive agriculture and industrialization in Europe, they remained in the landscape, but also in people's memory.
Is that why you want to tell their story?
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, within walking distance of every single person on the island, there is a sacred well. I mean, there were very many practical wells, the wells that were used for collecting water and for cleaning, you know, clothes and things, but there was also the sacred well. And of course they were in walking distance because it was key for every community to go there regularly for different reasons. One was, you know, there was wells associated with a particular cure. So a cure for the back or the eyes or the brain or relaxation or madness even. But then there was also the idea of just finding sanctuary, finding peace, finding on a Sunday afternoon, women being able to gather at a well away from other voices and other people. So it was a key element in the community. And they just recently got forgotten about. And one of the reasons is actually Christianity was never all that comfortable with them. So, you know, and now there were some incidences of enlightened priests actually having rituals at wells, but often the bishops and the sort of more conservative priests did not encourage people to go to the wells.
And listen, explain, because I didn't know anything about them, a pattern day to listeners who've never been to one. I know some of them are really big events like St. Gubnet's and St. MacDara's.
OK, we have these natural features in the landscape. And what we know, if something like that is ignored or is only one or two people going to see it, it's going to get overgrown with nettles or brambles or trees and rocks eventually. So you need one day of the year where they are, the community does gather around and revive them, clean them up, honour them, make them sacred. So from a practical point of view, that was one idea of the patron day or law fought through. It was the day that the honour was given to a particular well, and every well had its separate patron day. And not only was it a day for the community to focus on the well, but it was a day that the well had a particular potency. So if you said a prayer, or if you brought an ailment or a sickness or a weakness to the well on that day, well, it was much more likely to be cured. And then there was also this magical element to the potroon. Often on the patron day, you would get a magic beast, or a magic, often in the form of a salmon or a trout or an eel, would appear in the lake or in the pool of water. And if you saw that, you were basically sanctified. Whatever you wanted, magical things would happen, would differ from well to well. So they were gathering days, but they developed into so much more. They developed into, you know, wedding days, days that couples would meet to marry, days of dancing, days of singing, of music, of debauchery. So you would normally go, you'd arrive a few days early to clean it up, and then you'd arrive on the day itself. You would first do the rituals you had to do. And it's fascinating. There's a choreography, a complicated choreography associated with every well, just as complicated as a contemporary dance move, where you go and you move around a particular rock in a particular way, maybe, or touch a tree and then go around the tree and then touch the water in different ways, or engage and interact with the water, drink it, sprinkle over your body and say different words. And again, the particular choreography would mark, would show if you were familiar with this well or not. And otherwise, you had to be initiated into it by the temple guardian.
And of course, we're in the build up to St. Patrick's Day. But listen, the people of Ardmore, for instance, in Waterford, they've got a really strong devotion to St. Declan. And they maintain, isn't this right, I think, Moncon, that he brought Christianity to Ireland before Patrick. What do they tell you about St. Declan's well?
Yeah, and not only do they maintain, like, it's recorded. It was a handy story for the church to say that St. Patrick, you know, arrived in whatever, 437 AD, and that he brought Christianity. But there were Christians, the odd, you know, oddball hermit Christian monk floating around here for decades before that. And St. Declan was one of them. And his centre was sort of in Ardmore and in Ring in County Waterford. And the people of that area, of the southeast, have really kept a strong devotion to Declan. So there's there is footage from 100 years ago of pilgrims getting dressed in their finest, in their Sunday best, to queue up to do the pilgrimage. Again, there was a particular few steps you had to do. You had to crawl under a particular rock. So there was this ceremonial connection with a wild piece of nature. Then you had to go to the holy well and drink the well water. And those practices are still being done.
Tell me the story of Father Moore's hat.
Yeah, so Father, it's a lovely story. And again, it's a community in the 19th century in Kildare who don't have many resources, who are, you know, when they get sick, when they get poor, they don't have anyone to turn to. And Father Moore was a very devout priest who was meant to have been working day and night for the poor and had gone up against the bishops and the local hierarchy to protect the poor. He was so exhausted, so overworked, that at one time he'd be asked, you know, day and night for favours, for healings, for cures. And at one point he was just too exhausted, so he sent his hat to a local blacksmith. And the hat has managed to have cures, but the hat still has cures today. You know, there are just countless stories of healings that have occurred there, just like in Lourdes, just like in Fatima. Healings occur because of the power of Father Moore. But Father Moore is a 19th century figure. In fact, that well had power way before that. There were Christian saints connected to it, and like most of the wells, they most likely stretch back to a pagan well.
As I listen to you, Moncon, talking about all this, do you believe any of it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think everyone is coming to the realization, like even, you know, cancer specialists are now saying, if you go and walk along the coast, or if you go and walk in the forest, if you have cancer, when you're taking radiotherapy, whatever else, it will benefit you. There is a healing element to us going in nature. It's been clearly proven. And we know that water sources have always been a source of rejuvenation, a source of replenishment, a source of life. And even there's this great retired geologist from Trinity College, Professor Bruce Mistier. He's gone around in his retirement to so many of the wells in Ireland, I think about 60 or more wells, checking their chemical constituents. And he's seeing, well, nowadays a lot of our wells are polluted, unfortunately, but he's seeing trace elements of important minerals and elements that the human body need. So there definitely was, you feel this sense of rejuvenation. So I have a belief in them anyway.
And you say as well, Moncon, that each well has its own energy. What do you mean by that? And like, you've visited some of these wells. Did you personally feel energised or healthier after visiting them?
I genuinely did, Miriam. And each well is different, and it's very hard to put one's words on it. It's often the set and setting, do you know? Mm-hmm. If it is in a particular beautiful valley, or if there's a really old, gorgeous hawthorn tree growing above it, or a really interesting craggy rock formation that you can almost feel the centuries, the millennia of pilgrims before you coming for relief and coming to pray and to connect with a wider realm, to connect with nature, it sort of touches you. And some of them are sad. Some of them are now in neglect. Some of them were so famous for the freshness and the rejuvenating quality of their water, and they're now polluted because of nitrate runoff. So there is definitely a sadness to some of them. But each of the ones, there's an amazing woman in Cork, Amanda Clark, who's been leading this revival of the Cork, of the wells in Cork, and it's happening all over Ireland now. There's like a lot of the county councils are telling local communities, remember where your wells are, and they're cleaning them up and making sure the water is fresh. But each one I visited, and as I said, we only visited probably 1% of the 3,000 wells that are in the country, maybe 30 or 40 wells. It would probably take a lifetime to go through them all. And each one either, you know, felt more beautiful, less beautiful, but I was glad I visited each one of them. I got to feel that I'd gone under the skin of the community, that I'd got a deeper sense not only of the human community, but the ecosystem, the connection between humans and nature in that place.
I find that really interesting. Also, of course, some of them are well known, easy to find. I love the story about what you found in Port Ran in North County Dublin, almost lost to local memory.
Exactly. So if Amanda Clark is the hero of Cork, there's a man, Gary Branigan, in Dublin, who's again spent the last few decades hunting out wells in Dublin. And he had always heard that there was this one in Port Ran, and he could never find it. He knew the name was Chink's Well, and it was on the coast. And that's what's really interesting. A lot of our wells are actually on the coast. So at some point of the day, they're under the ocean. The tide comes in and washes them out. So it's a spring water. When the tide comes in, obviously it goes brackish or brine, but then the spring water comes out and cleans it out. And this is one. And he knew the rough location of it, but he just kept on hunting this, couldn't find it. And finally, only a few years ago, he met an old man, and the old man said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm looking for Chink's Well." And the old man went back into deep, you know, elements of his brain. He had heard about it. He had someone had pointed out to him in his youth, and he gave Gary enough of a clue. And Gary was able to find it. And you would never in a million years find this. It's in the back of a cave in the cliff on this strand in North County Dublin. And again, you go in and the rocks are all these mysterious colours. And there seems to be elements that are seeped out of the rock into the water. So the water has mysterious colours. And it had a taste that I've never tasted before in water. That would have been lost to our consciousness after, whatever, maybe 1,000, 2,000, maybe 4,000 years, was it not for one man's perseverance to hunt out this element of our heritage that is slipping away from us.
People often leave offerings as well at these wells. What kind of things do they actually leave?
It's interesting. So now if you go to a really active well, you'll find, you know, one particular tree that is the sacred tree connected to that well, and there will be offerings. The main word is clúthes. Clúthes are little bits of rags connected to left on a tree. But nowadays you often might leave a hair bobbin or a phone card or whatever you have in you know, around that you can leave. And the concept long ago was that you went there for relief from a particular pain, a body pain or an emotional pain or a prayer that you wanted for someone who was emigrating off to America. And you wanted to leave a legacy, a memory of that prayer, that big desire or wish around the well. And so you tied the ribbon to the tree. And the idea was that as long as it was there, the well was giving its sanctity, was giving its potency to this particular cause. And eventually, when the wind and rain would erode it and wear it away, by then the wound would be gone, the mental pain would be gone, or the concern about the loved one or whoever would be healed. And again, that is a pagan belief, without doubt. In Christianity, we're never comfortable. And so you still see, if there's some places, a lot of wells, that you won't see those anymore because either the church or the county councils or some tidy towns business is thinking they're sort of unnerved, they are unsettled by the paganness of the apparent paganness of these rags and other memories left in the tree, and they regularly clean them up, which is really interesting. It shows this divide between the new urban, you know, slightly prim modern Irish people who aren't so comfortable with some of the age-old practices of our forebears.
Really interesting. Now, listen, I gather you collected little samples of water from each of the wells you visited. What are you going to do with them? And were you tempted to taste the water in any of the wells?
I had great plans that I was going to drink a drop of water, because there's great, when the great traveller Owen de Vardoon told me that travellers do that, they go and they put a ribbon into each well, and so they collect the collective power of all the wells they visited. You know, Owen showed me one ribbon that had been in 17 different wells. So I decided, I wanted to drink every well. And then when I saw some of the fields and the fertiliser and the manure that was being spread, I thought, I can't risk doing that. So I collected the water in little bottles as a way of just thinking, taking some element with me. First, what I did, a lot of the women guardians that I talked to, and a lot of the important guardians are women, they told me, never take anything from a well without giving something to it first. So sometimes I'd bring oats. Sometimes it'd be just a pebble from the Strand here in West Kerry or from somewhere else. And then I take the water, and I didn't know what to do with the water. I had ideas that I wanted them all as a little shrine. But then I thought, no, this water was lent to me. I should really give it back to the land again. The whole idea, I think, of well is it connects us to the circularity of life. The water system is endless, is never stopped. So in the end, I brought all the water down to the nearest well to me in Westmeath, which is St. Fechin's Well. And I brought it back there.
Oh, well done you. Look, finally, after visiting so many wells, are you optimistic about their upkeep and the interest in them? Or do you think the wells might be forgotten?
No, I mean, in the last 5 years, you could say 10, but really the last 5 years, there's been such a revival. There's now Facebook pages, Instagram pages of people getting so excited about finding a new well or upkeeping a well. And the patron days, I mean, clearly they're not going to be the centre of the social calendar they once were, but they are growing. People are still really excited and proud about their local heritage. So in the same way, the last few years, there's been a bit of an upswing in interest in place names, in minor place names and in wells. And I would never have guessed it was going to happen. Had you asked me 10 years ago, I said, no, we've forgotten all of that. That's all pishroga, it's all old superstition. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing in these books that are being published and selling well, and these online social media accounts, and the gatherings, if you go to any well for 2 minutes, just step on the way, you'll think, oh, it's abandoned. I guarantee you, you stay for 1 hour in any well, and you'll see people coming in, leaving all day, all night. There are people, eagtriel there in tubber.
Well, Máncán, you have done your bit to save our wells. Míle buíochas duitse. The series Eagtriel Ar an Tubair, it begins this Thursday night on TG Cahir at 8:30. I've seen the first one. It's really excellent. Slán agus tuairim, Máncán.
Gur míle maith agat slán, Miriam. Slán nís.
Slán.
Welcome back. Reaction there to our wells. This is from Anne Clune. I'm from Port Ran and we know about Chinks Well. The myth is that St. Patrick's threw a rock from Howth over to Port Ran, as there is a particular rock there only found in Howth. And Mary Turner says, what a great subject. There's a holy well in Tralee which was said to heal madness and people with nerve problems. Scientists later discovered the amount of lithium in that well was very high. Really interesting, Mary.